The sermon title today is Doubt Be Gone. And I want to begin with Psalm 18 and verse 3 today. And we're not going to stay there for very long, but we're going to go to Psalm 18 and verse 3. So Psalm 18, and remember that Mrs. McNally is going to be here after services today. If you ordered pictures, that you can make sure that you can get them. She's got them all worked up for us for after services today. So Psalms 18 and verse 3 says this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Worship is connected to the word worthy. Our Lord and God is worthy to be praised. In your life, what value do you put on what God and His worth is to you? To me, He is my all in all. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. What price do you put on any of these things? What price do you put on God, who is your provider? Is God not worthy of your praise? And the answer is yes, amen, hallelujah. God is worthy of our praise and our adoration. In your bulletin last week and today, God inhabits or He is enthroned in the praises of His people. We won't go to those scriptures again, but we looked them up last week. So God inhabits or He is enthroned in the praises of His people. Number two, God's power is released through our prayers. And if you remember last week, we looked at the scripture where there were armies that were against the nation of Judah and they didn't have to do anything. They walked up to the top of the hill and the enemies were all destroyed. Why? How? By God's people praising God. That's how. Number three, praise is an expression of our faith. And we added number four, praise is in relationship to who God is, not to how we feel. And sometimes that really puts a stop on our praise because we're discouraged or we're down or we have sickness or we're going through things and challenges in our life and we leave out praise and we go to complaints. But we never can leave out praise. And we're going to see how important that praise is in your life today, that God is enthroned in the praises of His people and God's power is released in the praises of His people. So you heard me say last week, when things start going bad for Pastor Leo, what does he do? I start praising God. And if things aren't going better, I start doubling down on that praise. And we need to start doubling down in the praise in your life, rejoicing for what God has done and is doing. God is worthy of His children's praise. Today we want to focus on number three on the list, which is praise is an expression of our faith. Praise is an extension of our faith. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8 this morning. Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 5. So Matthew 8 and verse 5. So we're going to look at some examples today. So Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him pleading with Him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I said to you that many will come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness, so will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done, that you, for you and his servant was healed that same hour. Now in verse 11 and 12, I think it's kind of as a side note, it's important to point something
out here. When you look at verse 11 again, it says, "And I said to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 12, "But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, the reason I want to bring that out is because it sounds kind of funny in the midst of the story, but what is being told here is just being a descendant is not enough. It's by faith that we become children of God. Our birthright into the kingdom of God is a spiritual birthright and not a nationality birthright. And that's exactly what he was telling the people at this time. But in verse 10, when we back up to verse 10, "And then Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly I say to you," hallelujah, "I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Jesus says, "I have not found such great faith." Saints of God, faith is measurable. You can see someone's faith. Here he points to the greatest faith. In Matthew 14, 31, if you turn over there, turn with me to Matthew 14, 31. It's where Peter is walking on the water. In 14, in verse 31, it says this, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus points to little faith. If faith can be great and it can be little, then faith is measurable. The Bible speaks of growing faith. It speaks of weak faith. It speaks of strong faith. It speaks of someone being full of faith. It speaks of perfect faith. Faith is spoken over 200 times in the New Testament all by itself. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, we walk by faith. In Romans 1, 17, we live by faith. In Romans 5, 1, it says, we are justified by our faith. Whatever we receive from God is received in faith believing. Amen? So you've got all these naysayers out there today that say, oh, God doesn't heal anymore, then why do you pray? If you don't believe that God is going to move on the behalf of your people or in that situation, why do you even pray? So churches that say, oh, we're going to pray for this sick person, we're going to pray for this sick person over here, but we don't believe that God's going to do anything because God doesn't do anything today is a lie from the adversary. God is still in the healing business. What we need to do is get in the believing business today. So whatever we receive from God is by faith believing, including your salvation. Now turn with me to James chapter 1. We go to the book of James. Oh, you guys are going to run me out of breath today. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, we start reading for verse 1. And it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But listen to the words. But let him or her ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts, or she that doubts, is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or woman suppose that they will receive anything from the Lord. They are is a double-minded person, unstable in all ways. We were created to believe God. We were created. You heard me say this so many, many times, that there is a God plan for your life. There is a God purpose before you were even conceived. God already knew who you were going to be. He knew the person you were going to be. All we have to do is step into that and say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Now, what is it you want me to do? What is it that you want me to become? Because I know you have a God plan and a God purpose for my life. Say that with me. I have a God plan and a God purpose for my life. Hallelujah. So here we see we are created to believe God, not doubt God. Now if you turn back, and you just got to go back a little ways, go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. a scripture that you're all very, very familiar with. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I go back to verse 6 here, but let him ask in faith, in the book of James, without no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he will receive anything for the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in his ways. Without faith, we cannot please God. In our faith walk, doubt is not from God. The flesh doubts God. The powers of darkness doubt God. The spirit that dwells within you does not doubt. So when you stop and think about it, and you've heard me say this a few times over the last few months, the Spirit of God, that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he did what? He came to indwell your life. You now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says, I will not only be with you, but I will be in you. That Spirit of God that is in your life today is in perfect harmony with God. That Spirit of God that is in you is believing what God says. That Spirit of God that dwells within your life believes every word, every comma, and every dot of the Bible. So who doubts? The flesh doubts. The adversary doubts, but the Spirit of God in our life does not doubt. Now in a little bit, I'm going to show you first of all where doubt entered the world. Not recognizable any time before this, but I'm going to show you where doubt entered the world, and the world has struggled with doubt and faith the rest of their lives and all generations. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Let me catch my breath. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm waiting for that chariot of fire. I'm waiting for that whirlwind. We're all going to get on that bus. We're going to get out of this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to think your pastor's nuts. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 4 shows us where doubt entered the world. Eve might as well spoke the words, I do not believe that God is who he says he is, or that God will do what he says he will do. She might as well just come right out and said that. Now in a little bit, we're going to tie this thing together. I want you to hang in. Are you hanging in there with me so far? We're going to tie this together at the end, but I know I'm skipping around. We went from praise, we went to faith. We're going to bring this together. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. We're still talking about faith. Romans 12 and verse 3. In verse 12, chapter 12 of Romans, verse 3. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Now listen to the words. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Everyone in this world has been born with enough faith that is in their life to come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Everyone. Now we see the world many times, it will misplace that faith. It will put the faith over here, or it will put their faith over here. But the Lord wants us to put our faith through Jesus. And when our faith is put in Jesus, that's what brings salvation about. Everyone starts at the same level. Each one of us is dealt a measure or given a measure of faith. Once we are saved, it's up to us through the Word to grow that faith. Are you in the faith-growing business? Because you need to be in the faith-growing business. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting." Now listen to the words. "Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." Your faith grows exceedingly. And they saw it. They could see the faith that they were growing in. So faith is measurable. Faith is something that you can also see. Verse 3, "Your faith grows exceedingly." In other words, their faith was growing abundantly. So how do I grow my faith? And we all know that answer. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We're almost done. Romans 10, verse 17. Hang in there with me for a little bit longer. Romans 10 and verse 17. In Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So faith grows through my involvement with the word of God. You can't microwave Christians. There's so many things that we want to do in this society to speed everything on and ramp everything up. But the only way that you're going to grow in your faith is because of your involvement with the Word of God. So if we could take every newborn Christian, open the microwave door, throw them in there for 30 seconds of faith building, bring them out, we'd have a brand new person. But that's not how it works, is it? We are supposed to set under the Word by the preaching of the Word. We're supposed to set under the Word as we read the Word and as we do our devotions, because every time that we're setting under the Word of the God, the work of sanctification is working in our life to cleanse us, to separate us, and to grow our faith. Do you think that Pastor Leo has got more faith than a lot of people that you run into? I hope to believe that you see that faith in my life. I believe that our God is the creator of the universe. I believe that our God can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did that happen overnight? Absolutely not. It happened through my involvement in God's Word. So faith is grown by, number one, feeding your mind on the Word of God. Number two, this is also very vital. So number one is feeding your mind on the Word of God. Number two, by exercising your faith by putting it into practice. You've got to put that faith in practice. So today we started out talking about praise. And then we talked about faith. Let's tie it to prayer. There is a reason that all prayer models start and end with praise. This is what we want to get to today. There is a reason that all prayer models, remember last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer. You can also look at the one in Philippians chapter 4 or any other praise model that you want to pick out. But they all begin with praise and they all end with praise. Because, why? Because praise sheds the powers of doubt. Think about it. You start praising God. The adversary hates the saints' praise. He hates the saints' prayers. He hates when we're praising God. He can't stand in the same room when I'm praising God. How did Jesus defeat the adversary in the wilderness? He defeated him by the word of God. The spoken word of God is praise unto God. That we are praising God, believing God, trusting God. You know what? When I go to prayer, I don't want Satan in the room with me. And the only way I can know that Satan isn't in the room and me, picking on me, giving me doubts through my prayer, is when I start out with praise. He's got to leave. And because he's not there anymore, then I can go into my prayer and say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you. Now I bring all of these needs before you, and I know that you're going to work on the behalf of your believer. You're going to work on the behalf of your son, because I put my faith and trust in you. Amen. To receive, you must believe. Do you need to shred the power of doubt? Then your life needs to become a life of praise. Whether you feel it or not. Do you get it? Praise comes to one who is worthy. God is the only one that is worthy of our praise and our adoration. And because he is worthy, it doesn't matter if Leo's down in the dumps. It don't matter if Leo's limping. It doesn't matter if Leo's dealing with cancer. It does not matter what is going on in my life. It does not matter. He is still worthy of our praise. And because he is worthy of our praise, then I will praise him and I will glorify him and I will believe that he is going to work diligently on the behalf of the believer because of my faith. So let's do something right now. Let's do this together. Let's put this to practice. We're going to praise God. And we're going to pray that this church will grow beyond anybody's belief. Yeah. We're going to praise God. We're going to shred the powers of doubt. And then we're going to ask the Lord to move on the behalf of his people. And then we're going to stand back and we're going to be amazed at what God is going to do. Has anybody in this church ever been healed? If you've been healed at some time in your life, you pray believing that God is going to heal you. And has there ever been a time when God did it that all of a sudden you stood back because you were just amazed because God did do it? You believed it, you received it, but then you stood back and you think, wow, look at what God just did in my life. So we start out with praise. Father, we just praise you. We glorify your name. We magnify your name. Now, church, you all need to agree with me. We just praise you and worship you and magnify your name in the name of Jesus. And we ask that, Father, you would grow this church beyond anyone's expectations, beyond anyone's belief. And we say it in the name of Jesus that it must be done. And we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. Hallelujah. Oh, did doubt come back in? You don't let doubt back in your life after you just got done praying. You've got to believe it, receive it, and then walk in it. And claim that victory, what Jesus has done. When Jesus said, if you say that mountain, you tell that mountain to get out of your way. The Son of the Most High God is coming through. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just love each other so much, and we thank you for this service today. We pray that, Lord, as we go our separate ways, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives, and Father, you would bring us all back together just as fast as humanly possible, and we ask it all in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.